Hey guys, welcome back to Mastering You. I am your host, Matt Sutton, and I hope you've had a fantastic week. I certainly did. One of my highlights was actually talking to today's guest, and that is Dan Murray-Serta. So Dan is, he's a serial entrepreneur. He's a real cool dude. I'm sure you're going to really enjoy this one. And he's the co-founder of a new startup company called Heights, which he raised £2 million for. I think it was some sort of record for how quickly he did that. Saw that on LinkedIn today. Pretty impressive stuff. Not only that, he took his own podcast to the UK number one in the category of business. He hosts two podcasts, so Secret Leaders. So for any entrepreneurs or business leaders listening, definitely check that out. For most of our listeners, you're going to really enjoy his podcast, Brain Care. On Brain Care, he talks to some real legends like Stephen Fry and Dame Kelly Holmes, and you know, some amazing guests on there. So definitely check that out. But listen, you're going to love this episode. You know, we're talking about something that Dan actually, you know, he talks about his backstory in this episode, which was really cool. And like many entrepreneurs, what Dan shares is he actually created this company, Heights, as the solution to a problem that he himself went through with his own mental health challenges, which is really cool. So hope you enjoy it. If you make it to around even just a quarter or the middle of the way through, you will get the opportunity to find out how you can get hold of this smart supplement so you yourself can start enjoying the benefits of energy and mental clarity and focus at a discount as well. So Dan is kindly offering listeners of this podcast a special discount code. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode with Dan Murray-Serta. Dan Murray-Serta, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Mastering You. So grateful for having you on. And one of the first things I want to get to, Dan, is that I'm like we have a very much a shared passion for brain health, for mental health, for health and well-being in general. And I've had the privilege of talking to all kinds of people so far since I launched the podcast last year, from people who are struggling with addiction to depression and other mental health problems. We've had hypnotists on the show, and psychologists and experts in neuroscience. But a lot of the content so far that we've been delivering on the podcast has been around the problem. And I don't know if you agree with this. I've sort of noticed this in general with mental health. There's quite a big association with the problem. There's not a massive focus on the solutions and on brain health in general. So, being able to talk to someone like yourself, an expert in this area, is absolutely amazing. So if we can share with our listeners today, some real practical strategies that they can take to improve their brain health, so in doing so, they can improve their mental health, then that would be absolutely amazing. If you don't mind, quickly, I know, you're a little strapped with time, you're such a busy man, but if you could just tell me what got you into this passion in the first place? Where did this passion for brain health start?
Yeah, I think like most people, my passion with brain health only started once I had a problem with it. And that is ultimately the problem with the category that I'm in, which is I want less people to go through what I went through to find a solution, because there is only one cure in the whole entire world that's guaranteed for every single ailment and every single person, which is prevention. And that's not to say that if you are, obsess over prevention, you're guaranteed to be healthy all your life. But this is a game of probability and odds. Life is a wonderful gift, but death is always knocking on your door. And so are the challenges that come along the way. And I feel like our responsibility as human beings is to lean in and engage and understand with the different concepts of things we can do to basically evolve and expand our health span and lifespan. I know that Buddha says all life is suffering, but ultimately, it is possible to find a much happier path in general and avoid some of these things. So I guess that's like my preamble to say that, like a lot of people, I didn't really put a lot of emphasis on my own mental health problems. I've had a variety of mental health problems, but I never really made a big deal of them. So for example, I had depression when my father passed away, and to me that seemed pretty normal. I'm a human being, I'm emotional, he was my best friend. To me, that doesn't seem like a big strange thing to happen. So I, you know, understand myself that that is a normal expectation. I'm an entrepreneur, and when I enter into a new category for a period of time, you know, I'll have imposter syndrome. That seems to me to just be a sensible attitude, frankly, just someone with humility. It doesn't seem to be a terrible thing, quite British. So, you know, I look at these things and I say, oh, that's pretty reasonable. It was only really when I had insomnia and anxiety that it really became an issue. Now, anxiety I've had in small forms a few times. And I think, you know, it's worth saying that Lao Tzu, the, you know, ancient Chinese philosopher, did say that, to paraphrase rather than to get his quote perfectly right, being a while since I read, you know, ancient texts like the Tao. However, depression is a symptom of sadness for the past, and anxiety is a symptom of sadness for the future. And therefore, you know, mindfulness is this action of being constant in the present, which is the space in between the two feelings. Unpacking that concept, it makes sense to me to say that anxiety is a very common feeling for entrepreneurs, because entrepreneurs are constantly forced to plan the future that doesn't yet exist. It's a vision, it's a plan, it's an idea, it steps towards it. And if you live in the future in your head, it's likely you might get anxiety. So again, I try and take like rational approaches to my own emotions and say, well, of course I get anxiety. I'm an entrepreneur. That's kind of part of the course. However, it's when I got really horrific insomnia that really struck me, because at that moment I was very happy. And all the things I wanted in life, you know, I was getting married, I've got two fluffy cats, most importantly, should have said them first, really. my mum had just recovered from cancer. I had all of these things that were just really going for me. And I was suddenly struck with insomnia. I just one night woke up at 2 a.m., couldn't get back to sleep, didn't think that was a big deal, but then it just kept happening every single night on repeat. And it went on for 6 months. Obviously, if you then get really bad insomnia, your anxiety goes from a bit of anxiety to quite chronic anxiety. So I was waking, you know, breaking out in hot sweats, cold sweats in meetings, panic attacks from it. And especially like the period before going to bed, it's like a highly anxious time because you don't think you're going to get sleep.
Sorry, Dan, is that because like for someone like me who's never, thankfully, I'm touching wood, hasn't experienced that level of like anxiety or panic attack before, is that because you're getting worried about the problem? The problem becomes the fact that you're worrying about the problem?
Yeah, so there's two sides to this. So one is yes, that. So one is the anxiety at night is anxiety about the fact that I won't be able to get sleep. So that creates a cycle of psychological warfare that you can't really get past. The second part of it was more a manifestation of the symptom of anxiety, like biologically on my body, how it was manifesting.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, the main problem that I had with insomnia and anxiety was that I consider myself to be very healthy. I go to the gym and I exercise regularly. I do mindfulness, so all of these things, gratitude, like you name it. And I still had this issue. It took me 6 months, which is obviously an incredibly long time if you're awake for almost all of it as well. It almost feels like a year, right? Of going through this experience to finally, and I tried everything, right? And I went to the doctor and he gave me sleeping pills, which I didn't take because I knew it wasn't going to solve a problem that was just going to knock me out that night. And it took me all this time to have a chance dinner with a friend who asked me if I'd ever heard of brain nutrition, to which I told her I thought she was being a bit weird and I'd never heard of it, but I was willing to try anything. So she recommended that I go see a dietitian, which I did. And then this is really the turning point in my life, I guess, which is the dietitian was just very blunt and bland about it all and was like, yeah, I'm going to just prescribe you these supplements. And I was like, well, the supplements, you know, I've read that they don't work. I don't really take them. I take B12, but other than that, I've heard that they're kind of useless. And she was like, yeah, I mean, they're not. A, and B, by the way, like this is an easy way to really wind up a dietitian, is to tell her that supplements don't work. because then she went on a big rant about, I mean, media says it doesn't, media like does all this and that, and it's all like basically politics with pharma, non-pharma. But she's like, I am a dietitian. My job is literally to prescribe nutritional intervention to sick people. That is my job, and I'm medically trained in the NHS. So if I tell you to take supplements, she basically got a bit rowdy. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm sorry, I was just asking a question. Anyway, I took them. And within, so she recommended specifically DHA, omega-3, B vitamin complex, and blueberry extract. And obviously, you know, those have been the hero ingredients in Heights and in our smart supplement, which is obviously the product we ended up making. But at the time, I was, you know, pretty skeptical and a bit dubious about all of this. But within 7 to 10 days, I was starting to sleep until 4 a.m. and then 6 a.m. and then 7 a.m. And, you know, as soon as I started sleeping, my anxiety went away. And I was obviously over the moon, complete miracle as far as I was concerned that this had happened. But when I told her, and this is kind of the bit that really always struck me, when I was really excited and like told her it's worked, I don't believe it, etc. She was so blasé about it. She was like, I know. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, it's like a life-changing thing for me. And she's like, well, no, I told you. I told you it'd work. It works. I was like, okay, all right, well then, thanks, bye. She wasn't like the friendliest. But it was just really interesting. She was just so more annoyed at my own attitude towards supplements and what I'd read and what I'd heard. So convinced it would work. So quick to diagnose me. The first time I went to her, I was in there for like 5 minutes before she just told me what to do, wrote me out a prescription, very high quality supplements. And she was the first person that explained to me that all supplements are not created equal. So she's like 99% of the reason why they get such a bad rap is because the ones in Holland and Barrett and Boots are just super low quality. And the reason they're low quality is because they can be. So there's like a legal loophole that everyone exploits, which is the minimum amount you can put in and make a marketing claim, which is wildly different from the scientific dosage. So she was like, if you go and get these from Holland and Barrett and Boots, they won't work. But if you get them from Planet Organic or Whole Foods, for example, they will. And the difference is the price point. She's like, if you're paying 30, 40, 50 pounds for supplements, they actually cost the same as what you're buying in Boots for 10 pounds. It's just that they're putting the right amount in, and that's how much it would cost in Boots as well if they were putting the right amounts in. So the most obvious one that she told me about was omega-3s, which is 7 Cs. You know, you need to put in 200, you need to have 250 milligrams of omega-3s per day, according to science, for contributing to healthy brain and heart function. But the minimum amount you can put in, according to marketing and legals, is 45 milligrams. So the number one best-selling product in the whole entire world, being 7 Cs omega-3s, which people give their kids, etc., put 45 milligrams per day in, which means you'd literally need to take it for 6 days straight just to get 1 day's worth of what you'd be recommended. And then legally, they have to put this on the pack, but it's in tiny print with an asterisk on the back and no one looks, myself included. So, you know, there's so many things that happen in this moment. One was her attitude towards knowing it would work. The second was educating me on the quality difference, which obviously as an entrepreneur, you're like, hello, that seems like a massive opportunity to innovate. All you've got to do is not rip people off and be honest. That sounds like a bit of an easy win. And then the third thing was obviously the fact that I'd emotionally gone through an experience that had ruined my life and had suddenly had it changed by something that was readily available to everyone. Yet I was in the camp as everyone else, which is completely dubious over to the fact that something that comes from nature and then gets synthesized into a supplement might actually work. And I just found that so incredibly interesting. So that was like sort of the three things that converged to take me in this direction. But ultimately, it is what solved my mental health problems. After that, no insomnia, no chronic anxiety.
I remember, I think it was probably about 10 or 12 years ago, maybe a little bit less. I read, I think it's Patrick Holford's Bible of Nutrition or Nutrition Bible.
And that's the book I was recommended. It wasn't that, but it was the Optimum Nutrition for the Brain. Nutrition for the Mind. That's the one that I was recommended to read. Okay. Yeah.
And he has a chapter on the difference between RDA and ODA, so recommended daily allowance versus optimal daily allowance. Just that one, a bit like yourself, entrepreneur, like, wow. Just reading that one chapter just completely transformed my whole mindset around supplementation and just nutrition in general, because I think it's great for people to listen to this podcast just to understand that, you know, that what's recommended doesn't mean that is anywhere near optimal.
It's very cheeky because no one knows this. It's just, it is one big scammy industry, and that is the truth of the matter. And it is incredibly frustrating because what it does is really discredits the concept of quality. And I think there's a slight change in society at the moment on the basis that, you know, the government's just come out, obviously, with like Public Health England and recommended vitamin D, for example, to everyone. And actually the dosages, you know, you talk about like the RDA of vitamin D, you know, it's a small amount. It's something like 100 IUD is what it's called, the measurement. But actually, you know, if you read the COVID papers of what people are recommending, you know, it's up to like 4,000 IUD, which is like, you know, I'm not even going to do the maths, but something like 10,000 times the actual amount that you'd normally be given in a supplement of what they can get away with. It's a ridiculous amount. But like, this is the other thing, is that there's also this bizarre language. It's all very confusing, but it's this bizarre language ultimately about if you're taking way more dosage than looks like the recommended amount, is that bad for you? And you would logically say, yeah, surely that is bad for you, but actually your body just tends to wee it out. It knows, and it just wees it out. It doesn't really do very much because these are natural ingredients. So it's like the same as saying, you know, if I ate too much broccoli, is that bad for me? It's like, no, your body will take the nutrients it needs from the broccoli, and you'll just piss the rest out. That's literally how the body works. So the same is true with supplements, but the amounts are done like that actually to support the industry's ability to put less in and support the marketing claims rather than the science. So the whole thing is just set up essentially for profiteering rather than for quality. And it is just a screwed up industry because that's how most of it acts.
Yeah, I think, I guess, I mean, you know, this is great conversation. I wasn't expecting to go down this road, but I think, you know, without getting political, I think in some ways that the whole COVID-19 pandemic has kind of shown that in light even more because of how little, when was the last time you turned on the news and there was a whole, you know, sort of recommendation on this discussion on what levels of vitamin D you should be getting, or you know, what levels of all different vitamins and minerals you should be getting. You know, ultimately we hear all the time that, you know, if you're not obese, if you don't have type 2 diabetes, if you're relatively healthy, you do increase your chances of being, you know, being able to knock that virus much better. I think one bit of data that I heard that came out was from all the deaths to date, they hadn't found anyone that had good levels of vitamin D. You know, that's one of the big bits of data.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and obviously also worth saying that we do have good levels of vitamin D in Heights because, like, again, everything in Heights has been chosen at least a scientific dosage, which makes it unique. And also, interestingly, fun fact on vitamin D, most of it is not vegan. And obviously for some people that are trying to choose plant-based diets, like your pills, you know, you might as well have them vegan. There's no reason why not. Most vitamin D comes from sheep's wool, which is extremely odd, but completely true. So, you know, there's a lot of issue or umbrage, I should say, because it's quite a fun word. I take a lot of umbrage to the general media concept of, you know, how much we will celebrate. And by the way, these two that I'm about to slag off, I love them to bits. I think they're amazing. But Ryan Reynolds and The Rock, right? Two brilliant social media superstars. I mean, The Rock is arguably my favorite person on earth. He's just so inspiring and brilliant and uplifting and all this stuff. But 50% of his posts are drink tequila. 50% of Ryan Reynolds' posts are here's my gin. They're both making hundreds of millions of dollars selling alcohol, which is literally a poison. And by the way, I'm not a pious person. I've got my whiskey right there. I'm a whiskey drinker. I enjoy a drink once or twice a week. You know, so I'm normal, like everyone else is normal, right? I'm not teetotal on anything. I think that I have a balanced approach to life. However, alcohol is a poison. Living in a world and media society where you will celebrate and give column inches like crazy to wealthy celebrities partnering to sell alcohol en masse to their audience in the hundreds of millions, but jump down the throat of anyone that's saying that supplements work, and jump down the throats of anyone that says that supplements can increase your chance of health and well-being, what kind of society is that to live in? That is literally bonkers. That is the most backward scenario where literally we're jumping on this like media consumption idea of keeping people sick, not healthy. It's like, even if they maybe work and maybe don't, you can't say the true about the same about alcohol. Alcohol is going to help you cure COVID-19, feel better from a cold, improve your brain health, any of these things. It, like, we already know that the negative effects.
Alcohol sales are on an all-time high.
yeah, of course. And like, again, I'm not like trying to be anti-alcohol. I'm just saying like how crazy it is that there's still a long conversation to be had about whether or not we should be supporting people supplementing. I mean, almost every single doctor and dietitian privately and nutritionist privately that I know says 100% of people should be supplementing regardless of their diet because we don't get enough in our foods and because there's no harm in doing it. 100% of people. But they're not really allowed to publicly say that because they can only publicly say what the national health guidelines are. Not nutritionists, but dietitians. And basically, if you're on the NHS, you've got to toe that party line. So it puts a really difficult position on them as well when they are not publicly allowed to admit what they want to say. They're only allowed to publicly say exactly a lot the same thing along the lines of Public Health England.
Hey, hope you're enjoying this podcast so far and learning the importance of brain health for mental health. So this is just a quick heads up to let you know that Dan is kindly offering a special discount to Mastering You listeners. How about that? So when you visit yourheights.com, that's yourheights.com, you can use the discount code MASTERINGYOU to get £10 off a quarterly subscription to Heights, the smart supplement to help boost your focus, energy, and mental health. Now back to the podcast.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And the question is, where does it end? I mean, ideally, healthcare will transform for the better. Watch this space. I mean, one of the things that I looked into with regards to Heights, which is your, just for the listener. So this is your all-in-one, what you call it, a smart supplement that's designed, so it has 20 essential healthy fats, antioxidants, vitamins, minerals for your brain. And how did you decide on that particular formation? And I noticed there was a lot of like scientific studies that back it all up, right?
I guess like going back to the start again, as soon as I got this experience, I decided that like the most valuable thing I can offer as an entrepreneur is communication. So that's always been my thing. I like communicating with people and I like community. So I decided that I was going to write a newsletter. And in that newsletter, I was going to research what science says is good for your brain and then re-communicate it in plain English every week. So that was like my process. I started a newsletter with my business partner, Joel, called Dawn. And we just got writing. And literally the insight that we had was people say they like science, but they don't read it. I've kind of like was done with reading about charismatic marketeers selling me all sorts of potions and arguing with each other. And I was like, I trust science, generally speaking. So I'm going to go through a process of reading a science paper every week and re-communicating it in plain English. 125 newsletters later, so over 2 years, every single Sunday, that newsletter goes out. It's written by me still. Two things, really. I mentioned imposter syndrome before. I was aware this would help me with my imposter syndrome because I was going to enter into a space of neuroscience and nutrition. And I'm not a neuroscientist or a nutritionist. So I was like, as a communicator, I can add value. And also, there's a saying in neuroscience of if you read something, you learn it once. And if you share it, you learn it twice. So it creates new neural pathways in your brain and it cements the knowledge. So I was like, great, this process will help me understand science, what science says is good for your brain even more than I could possibly do otherwise. So that was kind of like my process. And in the process of it, I always reference the science papers, was always doing the research of what things are best for your brain according to science. I made sure that the newsletter was getting out to different scientists and neuroscientists and people that I was reading. And if I was reading their journal entry or their study or their book, I was, tagging them on Twitter with the latest newsletter and all this kind of stuff. And in the end, through Twitter, I ended up getting friendly with one of the neuroscientists that she had a PhD in neuropharmacology. So like literally her PhD was in this, like what your brain is made of and how to feed it. Her name was Dr. Tara Swart, and I literally met her through Twitter, through sharing the newsletter, by tagging her, by referencing her research. We just started like a Twitter friendship, and I was like, when you're next in London, let's meet up. And we did, and it kind of went from there. When I told her, like, you know, the vision of what we had for the company, the first product we wanted to make, this idea of a smart supplement, because, you know, you can go into, well, what I did in the first place when I was told by my dietitian was, you know, I went and spent £130 at Planet Organic. That sounds like a lot of money to spend on supplements, but it's not if you consider how absolutely desperate someone is to cure a problem. So I, you know, also worth saying that that story played well twice, because I ended up getting the founder of Planet Organic to invest in Heights, because I showed her the original receipt of what I had to buy in Planet Organic. For what was in Heights. I got a meeting with her, and she's been a customer of Heights for her and her four and her husband and her three kids for over a year, instead of getting her own free product from her own company. And the reason for that is because it's easier for her, as in she'd rather take 2 pills a day rather than 10 pills a day, and she knows that ours is just a high quality. So it's come to play out really, really well, because she actually has a whole testimonial about how what's in Heights is basically even more convenient than what's in her own company, Planet Organic, which is a pretty major statement for a founder to be making. Anyway, I digress slightly, but we started to work with Tara. I was, you know, I basically gave her the brief, like, how do you make the best product in the world for brain health and mental well-being? What would the ingredients be? They have to be in the right amounts, no cutting corners. That's why we ended up with 2 pills, FYI. We wanted to fit it in one, but it's literally impossible. So going on the scientific dosages of all of the things, it was impossible to fit it inside a pill. So we're like, doesn't matter then. Like, if our thing is about high quality, if our thing is that no one will make a better product than us, then it's 60 pills a month and it's 2 a day, and we'll go from there. So, you know, we have very uncompromising, well, one of our values is caring without compromise. So we're very much like, you know, if this is what we need to do to show how much we care about the thing, then we'll do it. Even though the product would cost us half as much if there was 1 pill a day, we would be sacrificing one of our morals. So, you know, it's 2, it's 60 a month. And that's, you know, basically your insurance policy of your most important organ every single day is this product, as you know.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, you've sort of said a few times, and I actually did, I did a whole podcast on this, is often, you know, with a bit of education, like listening to podcasts like this, you know, you can leapfrog certain situations, because the cost of not getting a result can be way, way more than the actual financial cost of, you know, so for instance, you know, for what we run, personal training transformation centers. So, you know, yes, we're a higher end product, you know, compared to your gym down the road, you know, we may be 2, 3, 4 times more. But, you know, if someone's paying £30 a month for a gym membership, they use once or twice or three times a month or a year, you know, without any coaching or help or support, and they're in that and they're paying that money for 10 years and they never see any results, and then our members actually literally transform their body and their life within 6 weeks, and they were, you know, yes, would you, the question is, would you be willing to just pay a little bit more but not have to wait 10 years and spend probably less in the long run than you would? And it goes the same with nutrition, right? But if you're just looking on that price tag on the website or in the shop, you know, and that's the value proposition or whatever you want to call
yeah.
it, you know, and you're not seeing I guess the issue with health, you know, with a financial investment, you can look at the issue, you can look at what you're going to get straight away. But with health, you know, if you eat a cheeseburger from McDonald's, you don't get a heart attack that day. You know, but if you keep eating a cheeseburger every day or for 3 or 4 times a week after 10 years and you don't move a lot, then you obviously with health, unless you're doing blood, so unless you're actually tracking, you don't see the deterioration.
Yeah, totally. And we do, you know, we do have a, for some reason, attitude towards devaluing the important things. You know, a good example, you know, or like mismanaging like what prices we are willing to pay for certain things. So, you know, for Heights, for example, our smart supplement, you can get from £1 a day. You know, it's a subscription product because we're based on science. So we literally refuse to let anyone buy it as a one-off. Because if you're there for a one-off, we say, go to anyone else. You're here for a quick fix. That's not how it works. you're literally committing to a better brain health, for better outcomes for your life. So why are you here for 1 month? If that's where you are in your journey right now, we're not for you. Like, we are here not just to support your brain with a product, but then to coach you. All of our content, all of our social media, all of our expert panels with guests for customers, all this kind of stuff. This is all about helping you be the best version of yourself. And anyone that is still in the mindset of like a quick fix is not going to experience that in their life. And that's the truth. So we make that top of the funnel quite difficult, but ultimately, you know, if you're signing up, for example, for at least, for an annual membership, then it's from £1 a day. The idea of giving your brain everything that it needs to thrive according to science as like either an insurance policy or like actually helping you sleep, have more energy in the day, clearer thoughts, all of these other benefits that come out of that process, if that's not worth £1 a day to you, then not only, again, are you the wrong customer base, but also you just have certain priorities mixed up, because just think about how much you spend on coffee per day.
Yeah, yeah. You recommended, you mentioned Dr. Tara Swartz, is that right?
Swartz, yeah.
So just for the listener, really, you guys have a brain health quiz, don't you, on your Heights website. So I went through that myself. And I recommend everyone, I'll put the link to that quiz in the show notes.
But and anyone listening, you can find that actually at yourheights.com/brainhealth.
Great. Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's great to just go through the quiz yourself, because even just doing that little thing got me to kind of think about things a little bit. And, you know, you start questioning, oh yeah, I should be doing a little bit more of that. So, you know, in regards to those questions that you mentioned in that quiz, you've got, you know, things about habits and daily habits. What are your go-to habits these days, Daniel? Have you got any non-negotiables that you make sure that you always do?
I do. I've got one non-negotiable and one thing that I wake up to every day. So the thing that I wake up to every day is gratitude. So the first thought I have in a day, consciously anyway, because obviously there's already ideas popping up in my head, is that I'm grateful for waking up today. And it's a very simple thought. It comes from my understanding that has been multiplied throughout the pandemic, as you would imagine, that our bodies do literally conspire against us. We are decaying from, you know, basically the age of 25. Certainly our brains are shrinking from the age of 25. And there's loads of things that we can do with personal responsibility around prevention. But none of these things are guarantees that you'll wake up the next day. So I like to start each day by just being grateful that I did wake up, because it's it's the greatest gift you can have. I'm not such a brilliant, pious genius that I just remember to do that. I wrote myself a note years ago and I put it right by my bed, and it's the first thing I see when I wake up. So it's just a handwritten note to myself saying, I'm grateful I woke up today. And so I'm not guaranteed, even after years, I'm not guaranteed to wake up and be like, oh, good morning, sun. I'm so grateful to wake up today. Of course not. I might be like, oh, I've had a shit night. Oh, I feel crap. Like, anything could happen. But that note keeps me on track. And I see it and I'm like, oh, yes, take a second. I'm grateful I woke up today. And then I start my day. Nice. And it's a really great way to frame how you start your energy towards the day. So that's my one guaranteed don't miss. And then my non-negotiable is I go for a walk. So I like to go for a walk for at least an hour, but usually it's an hour and a half. Usually first thing, but again, like, completely depends on my day, what time my meetings start. You know, there's a whole bunch of variables, but I never miss it. The only time that I've missed it actually recently was when I had a COVID test that I was waiting for, which fortunately came back negative. But obviously I like to be a responsible human being, so I stayed in for like 3 days waiting for it. And I was just going round the bend, so bored.
Walking around your apartment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's not quite the same experience. it's a flattened Kanban, so it's really not big enough to get me enough steps.
So just to finish up, firstly, I want to congratulate you on your success of your own podcast, or podcasts, And anyone that hasn't listened to, so the one specifically that we're talking about on brain health, it's called Brain Care, right?
Correct, Brain Care. And it comes from the insight that, you know, Heights is a brain care company. And our job is essentially to make you think about brain care like you think about skincare, hair care, oral care, nail care, all things that you create little practices and habits towards taking care of every day. You don't see immediate results there and then, but you know that they are all contributing to slowing the decay and improving the quality of your life by caring for these things. But you don't do that with your most important organ. So brain care is essentially our underlying thought about everything that Heights stands for, and therefore the name of the podcast.
And that I guess that's kind of, is that like kind of your mission with Heights, is to almost sort of create like a, I guess, because that doesn't really have a sort of industry, isn't it?
That is absolutely our purpose. Our purpose is like, when we're done, everyone will understand brain care, and they might not have to buy our products because they might be buying competitors' products, but the brain care category will exist and we will have created it.
Fantastic. Absolutely love that. Well, I mean, just on the podcast, I mean, I've listened to a few episodes already, and you've interviewed some real celebrities and legends, you know, Kelly Holmes and Stephen Fry, and that they've been sharing their own, you know, struggles and how they overcome those struggles. Mm. Just from a podcast point of view, what observations have you had about, you know, how are those people, are there any sort of commonalities that you found about why they had these challenges, but also commonalities of how they overcome them?
So, I mean, interesting. So almost all of the guests on the Brain Care podcast so far have been customers from Heights. So when people are like, how the hell did you get Stephen Fry as a guest? I'm like, I mean, the real question is how we got him as a customer, but getting him as a guest is a lot easier once he's like a passionate customer. But the answer to the question is, mostly negative self-talk and pressure to succeed. Okay. You know, that's a very common theme that creates mental illness. There's a real lack of, you know, long-term thinking. That's like the main thing on reflections, right? It's like striving towards short-term goals, short-term success, and short-term fame and stardom, etc. And you know, it's hard. It's hard because there's a lot of pressure put on these people. And then they're in the public eye, and that's probably extremely draining. So that's a very common theme. In terms of overcoming it, actually, most of them are very honest and say that they're on a journey like anyone else. You know, there is no destination. There's just trying to enjoy the ride for what they have. So that's like a very common perceived wisdom, I would say, that's sort of shared between guests.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to wish you continued success with both of Heights and with the podcast as well, Daniel. I want to thank you for coming on. One of the questions that I always like to finish with, or a couple of questions, is number one, is there anyone else that I should talk to around this subject that you think would be a good contributor to the show?
Well, Tony, who's amazing, is a much better dietitian than I saw originally, which is Sophie Medlin. Okay. She's so good and controversial because she's honest, has real opinions. She's just an amazing, I mean, I just interviewed her on the Brain Care podcast, and she's just so good. It's such a great episode too. She's great. And just like, you know, medically sound, everything's scientifically backed up, but just like inspiring, witty, clever.
Fantastic. Okay, I will definitely check around. The last question is, obviously Mastering You is really a personal development podcast. So we aim to help people achieve health, happiness, and high performance. Are there any specific books, your favorite books, or even courses or any resources that you recommend people check out that have helped your own personal development?
100%, mate. I'm a really avid reader. I read, on average, I'd say a book every 2 weeks. It used to be a book a week because I was doing it on Audible and going to work and back and work and all this stuff. But, you know, The Power of Now, very classic spiritual book, but all about being present. It's just such an amazing, you know, I'm very into my spirituality, and it's just an amazing articulation of spirituality. So The Power of Now is very powerful. to be honest with you, like the book that, books, sorry, that make a big impact on me, I would say Lost Connections. Really
Okay.
brilliant, really
Okay.
brilliant book on depression, and the sources of depression. It's just a fantastic book. I'm a massive fan of Principles by Ray Dalio,
So am
which is
I.
obviously a business book, but ultimately it's just like full of wisdom, full of years of wisdom, and it's just an
Amazing
excellent
book.
book. And then look, finally, very obvious cookie cutter answer here, but Atomic Habits by James Clear, very good, very logical, very clear, very helpful. So those would be good starting points, I'd say. And obviously, optimum nutrition for the mind. Why not start where I did?
Okay, well that's probably I can't think of a better way to end the podcast. So again, thanks so much for popping on, and looking forward to following your continued success. Dan, where can people find out more about hikes and brain care or yourself?
Yes, indeed. So I'm at Dan Murray Serta, on all platforms, so Twitter, Instagram, etc. And my probably my favorite platform is Twitter, it's worth saying. I'm more of a wordy person than I am a visual person. And then for heights, you can find heights at yourheights.com and at yourheights on Instagram. And one day we'll have enough money to buy the Heights domain, but until then we're stuck with our pseudonym. So Your Heights.
Can you not bribe them with some supplements?
Yeah, I should do, right? Yeah.
Okay, thanks again, Daniel, and take care.
Thanks, mate.
This episode was sponsored by LPT Meal Prep. After years of hearing the excuse, "Matt, I never have the time to eat healthy or cook healthy meals," I finally decided to do something about it. So we're now offering pre-cooked healthy meals delivered to your door. When you go to our website, you can see all of the nutritional information, and it's a real simple three-step process. So you put your order in, you'll receive your pre-cooked meals, and then you pop them in the microwave for 3 or 4 minutes. So all you need to do is head on over to bit.ly/LPT meal prep. So that's bit.ly/LPT meal prep. And on your first order, you'll get a 10% discount. Some of my favorites are the halloumi Nicore's salad, the naked beef burger, the naked mushroom fajita, and the teriyaki salmon. But go ahead, choose which meals you like, or you can build your own. Enjoy.